Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. I am joined by CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns.
Good morning.
We got the band back together. We're here to have some fun, get you ready for the weekend. Good things on the way for you, everybody. Some entertainment news coming up. After that, we're going to get into 10 things that turned 50 this year. And see if that makes us feel old or young. We'll find out. We got that one coming up for you. The states with the most and least overpackers. We'll get into that as well. I got that one coming up for you.
Well, and, you might need, you know, you never know what you might need.
You never know.
Overpacker.
Of course, our longtime listeners out there may have noticed that we weren't able to do our star of the day with our friends from Culver's in the 8 o'clock hour. Had a little bit of technical difficulties. Everything is working smooth. So at the end of this segment, we're going to make you with a star of the day with our friends from Culver's. Be sure to visit our friends over at Culver's and get some Culver's in your life. Let's go ahead and kick things off with entertainment news. And it happened. I've been waiting for this. I think a lot of people have been worrying about this. And it's finally happening. Jennifer Aniston is producing a remake of 9 to 5. It's actually being called a reimagining, which, you know, is basically them taking the things that they like that adapt to not modern times and doing something with it. I don't know.
Interesting.
The film is still in the early stages of development with Diablo Cody writing the script. She's the one behind Juno, Lisa Frankenstein, and some other big movies. If you've never seen the original, of course, Dolly Parton, Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin as office workers who are getting revenge on their sexist boss, Dabney Coleman. There was talk in 2018 about the original cast doing a sequel, but Jane said in 2019 that the idea got dropped. There was also a 9 to 5 TV series that ran for 5 seasons from 1982 to 1988. It starred Rita Moreno and Dolly's younger sister, Rachel Dennison.
Interesting.
I forgot all about that. Yeah, I didn't know about that. Now, we've talked about remakes, reimaginings, all this stuff a billion times and everything. So I feel like that's been pretty out there and pretty well known. Because they've done so many of these now that there is some examples of, oh, that actually worked out okay. But there's more examples of it not really working out very well. What I have noticed, though, and this has only happened by accident, really, because I happen to be a teacher of young minds and working with young actors and comedians and all this and everything. When these things happen, what the younger generations tend to do is kind of like push back on the remake and go and watch the original.
Go to the original, yeah.
Which is really, really cool. Like, nobody told them to do that. They've just kind of instinctively done that and been like, well, I don't, this is kind of being like, have you ever tried to seem cool to a teenager? It fails horribly. You look like the lamest person of all time. Hey, I just wanted to rap with you guys for a moment. Where are you going? You know, no, it doesn't work. And that's the same thing with entertainment. When you're trying so hard to get younger, that coveted 18 to 34 market, when all you do is, oh, gonna hit that. Well, guess what? That market, that age range especially, doesn't like it when you just do things just for them. They're not a big fan of that. So you're best off just kind of making stuff and seeing where the chips fall.
And hope it goes your way.
Yeah. I mean, I for so much money and so much time that is spent into marketing and figuring out, what do people want? What does that coveted demographic want? We've always known. What they want is not to have things shoved down their throat.
Well, and that group, too, seems to be much more responsive if an influencer picks it up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you can be fortunate enough to be trying to market a product and an influencer picks it up, you're likely to get a better following than all the other marketing that you might have put into it.
I think a big part of this, certainly, obviously, the script is going to matter first and foremost, but it's really going to come down to, if they're going to keep the concept of three women and that, they've got to have three incredible actresses. Yeah. Like, not just three
average
actresses.
Going up against those three.
Yeah, not just one good actress and two sort of good actors or anything. I mean, three incredible actors.
Yeah.
Like, and that's not that hard to do. There's a lot of great actors out there. It's finding the right combination. And the chemistry's got to be there.
Yeah.
I've seen the original as an adult. I watched it a lot as a kid. I might not have loved 9 to 5. That movie was on all the time when I was a kid. But as an adult, I've gone and I've watched it when Dabney Coleman passed away, I believe. I went and watched some scenes because of him and everything. And there's some stuff in the movie that, you know, doesn't age that great. But the movie itself is made from the chemistry of those three actresses. All three of those actresses, I don't know, I wasn't on the set, but they seem to really like working together.
Yeah.
They seem to really enjoy each other and really enjoy their time together. And that matters in making a film. Go throughout human history. There's a famous example of Julia Roberts and Gary Busey, I think it is, or them working together in a movie. And they can stand each other. And the movie bombed horribly, of course. And you can tell when you're watching them working together that they don't like working together. And they're both very good actors, but they didn't enjoy it. Like, it shows. It's obvious when that happens. So to me, if I'm casting this movie, the first thing I'm doing, as soon as I get, you know, shuffled down to the actors I want, I'm going to have them read together. I'm not even casting them yet. I'm just having them read together first to see how they seem together. Then maybe we'll talk about contract signing and everything. That's an integral part of that movie, if they're going to do it. If it's going to have any success. We are mentioning today is Carol Burnett's birthday. A very happy birthday to one of the legends of comedy. You can't talk about the history of comedy without mentioning Carol Burnett, who is 91 today. And about a month ago, live with Kelly and Mark, she was on there and she was asked what she wanted to do for her birthday. And she answered Bradley Cooper. Oh, she still got it. Like, without missing a beat, just boom, right there. Just... It's funny. She laughed it off and everything and said, of course, that she's just, you know, kidding around and everything. She did send a video, or she did have some fun with that one. Carol was on Jimmy Kimmel Live Wednesday night, and he had a special birthday surprise for her. Unfortunately, Bradley was not there in person, but he did show up. He sent a video and he said, quote, "I've been such a massive fan of yours ever since I was a kid, watching your show regularly, and it's a thrill to leave you this message. I hope to meet you one day and maybe even work together. I hope you have a great day. See ya." Even though, you know, it's not maybe exactly what you wanted. It was a really cool moment between the two of them.
Oh, so he didn't jump out of the cake?
Didn't jump out of the cake. First of all, 91 years old and looks amazing. Carol Burnett looks awesome. Great to see her. When I say she looks awesome, I'm not talking about her appearance necessarily, her movement. She looks like she's healthy for 91, you know?
Yep.
Just pretty darn cool to see. And Bradley Cooper is one of the best people in the business. Easily one of the best people in the business. This is a kid who has not forgotten where he's come from. And I love that he does stuff like
this.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It's pretty cool. Happy birthday to Carol Burnett. That was good. She is still just sharp as all get out, man. I thought this was kind of interesting, Terry, before we get into our star of the day and we let you know what's new on your small screen this weekend. In the era of 3-hour movies and 3-hour plus movies and everything, what do Americans want? Do Americans want 3-hour movies? Is this something that we're looking for? The overwhelming answer is no.
I get a little sleepy.
According to a new poll, Americans think that the perfect movie length is just 92 minutes. Only 2% think that a movie should be longer than 2.5 hours, and only 15% think movies that are 2 hours or longer are any good. The poll also covered another hot-button topic, subtitles. A third of people say that they never use subtitles, while 16% say that they always do, and 15% say whether the captions should be on or off is a hotly debated topic in their home.
Yeah, we have that. I'd say off. They drive me insane.
Drive me
nuts. I think it's the movement of it. You know, that like it distracts me. One of my daughters has them on always.
Yeah.
And then she leaves and then I go to the TV and the darn things are on. I'm like, you know, I'm like, how do I get these turned off?
I have not been able to get a straight up answer of why, but the younger generation seems like everything they watch has they're watching with the subtitles on. I haven't gotten a real. I'm sure there's a reason behind it, but I haven't gotten any real reason
why.
Yeah,
that it's different than what we do.
Because for me, like I've watched a lot of foreign films. I've watched a lot of like action movies from Japan and China and stuff, and those are usually dubbed. When I was a kid, we used to sneak into the theater and watch a lot of those, and I shouldn't have said that. we pay for our ticket to go.
Cats
get a movie
out of the bag, man. You probably brought your own snacks too.
A long time ago. Subtitles kind of distract me a little bit. I find myself reading over
watching. Me too,
watching.
And not watching. Yeah. I think 90 minutes to 2 hours is a good length, unless it's Titanic. Fine by me. I'll sit there the whole time.
I firmly believe that if you cannot make your movie in 2 hours and 15 minutes to 2 hours and 20 minutes, go back to the script. Go back.
Or
make two. Make two.
You're redoing something. You know what I mean? Like, you're probably... You should be able to do it. Yeah. 2 hours, you should be fine.
If you need more than that, then I feel like you either need to make another movie or you need to go back and work on that script again. Yeah. Because you are putting your... this is something that is happening with one of my favorite directors of all time, Martin Scorsese. He can't make a two-hour movie anymore. And it's all because of what he wants, what he is, what his vision. And I get that, and I respect that, all Get Out. At the same time, it ain't about you. You're not just making this movie for you. Like, if you want to just make the movie for you to watch, that's one thing. Just release it for yourself in your own home theater. But if you're making a movie for people, think about the people.
Like, yeah. And, like, to me, I think that... You know, a rom-com, excuse me, or a, you know, maybe like a horror film, which I'm not watching. But like those can be shorter. Mm-hmm. Like you don't have to beat that plot to death. But there are some like Braveheart is a little longer. I love that movie. Yeah. But you're sucked into that like the entire time you're watching it. So sometimes, but just in general, this whole marathon of, you know, movies have to be 3 hours.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and take a call. Good morning. What's on your mind?
All right. I wasn't going to call and bug you guys today, but.
No, but you can't resist.
I just can't resist. It's Terry. I got to bug Terry. No, with the closed captioning thing, the passion, the passion story, I don't think I read any of those because I was just captivated by just, even though they were doing a different language. So I never really read the captions during that whole movie. Mm-hmm. And I probably watched that movie probably half a dozen times. Mm. But for the kids, like what Terry is saying, mine, he would have captions on, but also have an earbud in watching something on his phone while watching something on TV. And it's just like, really?
Yeah, it's so annoying.
Like, one or the other.
Yeah.
Yeah, I, if something's in a different language or something like The Passion, like that I get, like, in case you want to know what's going on. But the whole just regular TV is on or a movie and to have those.
Yeah.
The captioning on it drives me crazy.
Yeah. They seem to be able to focus on like three or four different things at once.
And nothing at the same time.
Yeah. I don't know how I don't know how you're enjoying any of that, whatever you're doing there. But it's each their own. I'm not at all, everybody's different in the way they take things in. But I watched this happen before and not can just marvel at how they could do all this and at the same time not register
anything. Yeah. It is crazy. Like their brains are just wired different.
Including what we're asking them to do. Like, they don't register that either. They don't register that either.
Well, it's like talking to the cat when
it's very true.
Like, it's like, you don't know what I'm trying to tell you. It's like,
Kev, if I keep you on the phone, we are going to end up talking NFL draft. So I have to let you go.
Hang on.
But Monday, you and I are talking Monday, sir.
I took a deep breath this morning before I dialed the number, and I'm like,
self-control.
Oh, no, we're gonna self-control. I did my venting a little bit at work this morning. I'll wait till Monday for James.
I appreciate
that so much.
We'll be talking on Monday on Playmakers, brother. You have a good weekend.
See ya.
All right, you guys have a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye. You too. Best listeners in radio. Be sure to join us for Playmakers on Monday 3 to 4. A big shout out to Quality Plus Printing, sponsoring that segment. We appreciate them sponsoring that hour. Looking what's new on your small screen this weekend, the NFL draft. Rounds 2 through 3 to kick off tonight at 7 on ABC. At 11 tomorrow morning, I believe. Yeah, 11 tomorrow morning, the rest of the rounds will be wrapping up.
By then it'll be storming, so might as well.
I do want to say a real shout out to the NFL, to ESPN, to ABC, to the coverage that they do. I think that we can easily make fun of that every one of these kids has a tragic story, and we get their whole back, like the Disney story, like a quick Disney story of every one of these kids, and every one of them gonna eat up. Every one of them gets me. I'm not that kind of person. I'm not the kind of person that usually gets like pulled into those things. There is something about the NFL draft and seeing these kids.
Stories.
Every one of these stories, I love every one of them.
Yeah.
I cannot get and I want to draft every one of these kids. Every one of these kids, I feel they sell me. I am not a person that can be sold a bill of goods usually with the NFL draft, man. I would make a horrible GM because every one of these, oh, this seems like a good kid. Like so many of them seem like
you'd have
good
to
kids.
Have a pretty strong team because it'd be like, yeah, no. No,
yeah,
James.
Yeah. But they really do an amazing job, and we have no idea if any of these kids are going to work out. We're really not going to know for a good 3 or 4 years. But what we do, and there's a lot of moral troubles that people have with the NFL draft and drafting in general. All that stuff can be put to you can compartmentalize, put it to the side. You're getting to see. Not just one, not just two, but back to back to back to back, kids getting their dreams fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty darn cool. And it just works out even better when they happen to fall on your team or something like that. You have an extra, an even added more reason to be excited or something. So, I don't know. I think it's kind of fun, and I'm still excited to be able to watch. Looking forward to it. Today on Hulu, thank you, good night, the Bon Jovi story. A lot of people have been talking about that.
Oh, I didn't even hear about it, but I would watch that. I was a huge Bon Jovi fan.
There is apparently they share some stuff that isn't common knowledge or hasn't been talked about before. Richie Sambora is apparently very like forthcoming in it. There's been a lot of talk about it. It being a really good one. Tonight on Max, Call Me Country, Beyonce and Nashville's Renaissance. Also on Paramount Plus tonight, Knuckles, a 6-episode Sonic the Hedgehog event featuring the side character, Knuckles.
Sonic the Hedgehog has a TV show?
I guess so, yeah. And as I mentioned, on Saturday, the NFL draft continues with the 4th through 7th rounds. On Sunday, American Idol on ABC. Be sure to check that out at 7 o'clock on ABC. Also wanted to mention My Fair Lady, the Lincoln High School Theater and Music Department presentation going on. I heard great things about yesterday's premiere. Tonight, they have a show at 7:30. Saturday, a 7:30 show. And Sunday, a 2 o'clock matinee. We're going to give you a chance to win some tickets to one of those shows. Be listening for that coming up. But you can get tickets for it right now at showticks4u.com. That's showticks4u. Or get them at the door at the Performing Arts Center right here in Wisconsin Rapids. For more information, give them a call 715-424-6763, 424-6763. Let's go ahead and do what we like to do around here, do our star of the day. It's a little bit different, but there we go. Lights, camera, action. It is time to make somebody a star of the day with our friends from the Wisconsin Rapids Culvers. What Terry and I are about to do is play a famous TV theme song. You call up 424-2600, get the answer right, and as long as you haven't won anything in 30 days, boom, just like that, you win yourself a family pack of 4 from our Wisconsin Rapids Culvers. That is 2 kids' meals, 2 adults' meals. That's free Culvers.
That sounds amazing.
Cannot beat that. Get ready to call up, everybody, 424-2600, and let us know what TV theme song this is. Didn't even have to worry about them saying the name. Didn't even have to worry because you guys are that good. Good morning. What's your answer?
Green Acres.
Yeah.
Nice job.
Right, nicely done. Nicely done. Knew that one right away, didn't you?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Were you a fan of the show growing up?
Watched it many times as a kid.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, that was a fun show. This is a fun show. My Nana Papa loved that show. It was the theme song, I think, that really brought them in, though. Like, I'm sure that they laughed and enjoyed the show, but that theme song, people love this theme song. It's still popular. What's your first name, sir?
Patrick.
Patrick, thank you so much for listening and playing along. Patrick, what town are you calling us from?
Saratoga.
All right. We haven't had a Saratoga winner in a long time. That's awesome. Appreciate that. Patrick, hang on the line. I'm going to get a little information from you. Also got to make sure that my agent gets your information because you are our newest star of the day.
Excellent.
Thank you, Patrick. Hang on the line. We'll talk to you in a moment. Yeah, it's one of those classic theme songs, Terry. And we're doing this one because earlier this week we got to celebrate Eddie Albert's birthday. Eddie, of course, the star of Green Acres. Eddie Albert, a longtime actor, Heartbreak Kid, a couple of other big roles. He won he was nominated twice for Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor for Roman Holiday as one of those performances. A great performance, but I think Eddie Albert, while he's known pretty much for Green Acres, I think for a lot of people, great, very well celebrated actor before that. And Green Acres, of course, ran on CBS from 1965 to 1971. Kind of had a reprise. Reruns, of course, were brought on and everything. It's one of the Gabor sisters.
Wow, and it's a famous one. That is a very recognizable theme song.
It really is. Yeah. It's one of those ones.
Pretty snappy.
Did you see that show growing up at all?
A little bit, not a lot.
Yeah. I vaguely remember little bits and pieces of it. I have to be honest with the audience. I saw Eddie Albert's birthday. I'm like, oh, I wanted to do Green Acres. I don't know if we've done that one. I was mixing up Green Acres and the Beverly Hillbillies for like the first, all of Monday and Tuesday. I kept mixing the two shows up. I don't know why.
But. I always laugh because my dad will like tease my girls about something from Green Acres and they're like, yeah, Papa, we don't even know what you're talking about. You know what I mean? Like, they have no clue, but it's kind of funny.
We'll come back after we're done talking with Patrick, our newest star of the day. Be listening every Friday for a chance to win some free Culvers. And head on over to the Wisconsin Rapids Culvers and wish them a great day and a good weekend from all of us here at WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show, everybody. I think Jolene was made up. I don't believe there's a woman alive that Dolly would be. I don't know. I think maybe Jolene was made up. I don't know. Maybe it was all in her head, because I cannot imagine somebody being able to compete with that woman. We appreciate Dolly playing us in. Terry and James here with you. I'm just kidding, of course.
I'm sure there's some silly enough to try. Right? I mean.
Right. Oh, God. Oh, I wish you guys could have seen the look on her face when she said that.
You know.
That was good. And something it sounds like, yeah. So here's an interesting one to get into. What is your approach when you're packing suitcases for a trip? Pack as lightly as possible to limit the stuff you leave to lug around with you or anything, or cram as much as you can into that luggage. There's a new survey out on Americans' packing habits, and it found that there's one part of the country that is packed with overpackers, and that is Pennsylvania. For a 7-day trip, the average Pennsylvanian will pack 10 shirts, tops, 7 pants, bottoms, 3 pieces of footwear, 3 sets of pajamas, 11 pairs of underwear, 9 pairs of socks, and 4 pairs of shoes. Indiana has the second biggest overpacking problem, followed by Kentucky, Mississippi, South Carolina, Louisiana, New York, and Alabama.
Wait, if you're going on a 7-day trip, how is 10 shirts, how is that first descriptor overpacking?
I think that's a fair question. I don't know if I've ever really been on a trip like that long or anything before, so I'm not sure.
If I was traveling with someone for 7 days and they wore the same shirt for 4 of the 7, I'd be put some more shirts in your suitcase.
Hey, we might have been traveling together for 3 days. We're not traveling for 4. Indiana has that. One quick note about this. Usually when we do these kind of things and they come down to states, they seem to be lumped together a bit. Or there seems to be a pattern, like it's all eastern states or all southern states or something like that. This is all over the place, it feels like. You've got almost every area of the country represented with this one. That's interesting. The state that packs the lightest is Minnesota, which is a little weird considering how cold it could be up there and everything. But I don't know. Maybe it's the traveling.
Maybe these are all Caribbean trips.
Yes, out of Minnesota. Yeah, and I'm not taking any of the winter weather with me or winter clothes with me. For a 7-day trip, the average Minnesotan will bring 8 shirts or tops, 5 pants and bottoms. You can imagine where the rest of this goes. So not as much as the other people. Oregon is the state that packs the second lightest, followed by Washington, New Mexico, Utah, Colorado, Nevada, and Hawaii. In general, the West packs lighter than the East, particularly the Southeast. Overall, the average American will pack 8 shirts or tops, 6 pants and bottoms, and 2 pieces of formal wear, and 2 sets of pajamas. When it comes to a 7-day trip, 45% of Americans say that they purposely overpack, while about 10% say that they try to pack lightly. 25% of people say that they always return home with clothes they did not wear at all on their trip, and 8.3% of people say that never happens.
So that almost always happens to me. I'll come back with stuff that hasn't been worn, but what if you need it?
Yep.
What if the weather is, you know, this or that? I don't know. I'm an overpacker, like. I guess I don't think about the quantity. I think about it. If I can have 50 pounds of suitcase, I'm probably at like 46 pounds.
Right. I get that. I get that. It depends on if I've been there before. If it's somewhere I've been before, like the first time I went to Texas, I overpacked because I'd never really spent that much time in a warmer climate before, so I didn't know what to expect, and I've heard so much about Texas. The second time I went out there, I was a little more prepared, I understood the weather a little bit better, and so I was much more of a light packing. For me, that's usually what it comes down to, is if I've been there before, and if am I just, you know, stereotyping what I think the weather is going to be like, or am I, you know, actually talking to somebody from there, and oh, okay, California's not really as hot as I thought it would be, or something like that.
Yeah, I'm just not, I don't know, I'm just not that good of a packer. Like, oh, if you're talking to somebody, you know, and they have just their carry-on, mm-hmm. Little suitcase, and oh yeah, I'm gonna be somewhere over for 10 days. I'm like, 10 days? Yeah. Like,
yeah,
that's all you have?
I think I don't know. Since she's become a mom, I'm not sure how much this might have changed. But my little sister was always so good at packing, and it almost would drive me nuts because she could fit so much, bring so much, but it was all perfectly put away, and it was all like it looked like a professional had done it or something like that. I don't know. How about you out there? Let us know. 715-424-2600. How do you pack? I imagine a lot of people getting ready for a spring and summer travel. We'd love to hear how you're doing it. Maybe you can give some people some tips. After our news break, we'll come back and get into 10 things that turn 50 this year. See if that makes us feel young or old. We'll find out when we come back on the show here. Looking forward to that. It should be a good one. We've got that coming up for you and plenty more here on The Morning Show at WFHR, where we are locally grown. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James hanging out with you. Hope you're having a great Friday out there, getting ready for the weekend. Good stuff coming up for you. Getting into some That Ain't Right stories and good stories of the day. We'll touch on some great local events in our area. Want to take some time for that? That coming up for you. But right now, let's see. Do we feel young or old from this list? And feel free to call up. In fact, call up right now, I guess. Let's go ahead and take a phone call. Good morning. What's on your mind?
Good morning. You were talking about packing. You can't even find one set of pajamas in my house. We grew up poor. We didn't have money for pajamas.
I hear you. Yep. I completely hear you, sir. I've never owned a pair of pajamas. I've never understood that.
I have one pajama bottoms if I'm really sick. And I haven't worn those in years.
I can completely relate to that. I hear you. Saves a lot of room on packing.
Saves you room in the bag.
Yeah. Always appreciate the call, sir. Thank you. I appreciate those calls as always, everybody. Keep them coming. 715-424-2600. We love hearing from you. What kind of packer are you? Yeah, let's hear from you. Mid-March seems like a random time for this, but Mental Floss just posted a list of things that turning 50 in 2024. And here are some big ones. If you were born in 1974, here are 10 random things that are as old as you are. I was a 77 kid. So
I turned 50 last year. So, I'm sure I'll remember all this stuff.
Some of this, yeah. Post-it notes. A guy accidentally invented a weak glue in 1968, but didn't know what to do with it. 6 years later, another guy wanted a way to bookmark pages in his hymnal book at church, and post-its were born.
Oh, cool.
Post-it notes from 1968 over in, how about Rubik's Cube? Yeah, I kind of figured that one would be at least 50 years old. It was invented in 1974 by a guy, a Hungarian guy named Erno Rubik. He originally called them magic cubes.
Really? You thought they were that old? I thought they came out in like 1980.
I would have. Okay, so I wouldn't have thought 50 maybe, but close. Huh. Yeah. Okay. But you know, you're right. I would have thought.
I feel like when I was in
80s.
Elementary-ish school is when they.
It does feel like that.
Maybe that's just when they got over to us.
Right, yeah. This is an interesting one. Barcodes. Now, on the surface, I would think, oh, barcodes have been around since like the 50s or something like that, I would think. At least 50s, 60s, maybe 60s more likely. Well, barcodes, a guy from New Jersey named Joe Woodland, Joe Woodland came up with the idea and drew it in the sand while vacationing in Florida. The first barcode was scanned on June 26th in 1974 and then completely revolutionized shopping from thereafter.
Yeah. Wow. And inventory systems and reordering. Yeah, that's amazing.
I definitely would have thought that was older. Bailey's.
See, and I think it's newer. I wouldn't have put that as older.
Huh. Bailey's Irish Cream. Cream-based liqueurs.
I remember.
But it debuted as the first Irish cream on the market in 1974. That's interesting.
That's good.
Yes, it is very good, yes. The Heimlich maneuver. Dr. Henry Heimlich described it in an article in 1974. It started as a theory, and it turned out to work really well. Before that, the advice was to smack a choking person on the back over and over again. And we're not kidding. That was the actual medical term. What you want to do is just wind back really hard and just whack.
Have someone else pull your arm back and then release it.
And keep doing. How many people did we lose to choking before the Heimlich maneuver? I'm just going to wing it here. You got people that went to school for 8 years to be a doctor. I don't know, just wind up. Thank you, Mr. Heimlich. Dungeons and Dragons. The very first copy, the first people to own a copy got their hands on it in the early 1970s, in 1974 to be exact. Dungeons and Dragons, as many probably know out there, has some Wisconsin ties, as it was, I believe, the creator of Dungeons and Dragons is from Wisconsin.
So when they're saying in 1974, people got their hands on it, what are they, book or the video?
I'm guessing the actual the game, the board and stuff, started going around or started being able to be bought by other people and stuff. Because I believe Dungeons and Dragons started as something that was just grassroots, I think. It was one of those board
shoots and ladders.
Speaking of, Connect Four shows up. A guy named Howard Wexler wanted to create a board game that was played vertically. Milton Bradley ran with it and started selling it in February of 1974.
I loved mine.
That was a fun game. Skittles. Oh, I love Skittles. They were invented in the UK in 1974, but didn't hit shelves here in the US until 1979. Their chocolatey cousin, M&M's, are a lot older. M&M's have been around since 1941.
Yeah. What's your favorite color Skittle? And they do not all taste the same. So don't even say that.
Orange. It depends on the, you're talking the regular,
the plain
just plain
ones.
Brand.
Yes,
plain
the
brand.
Original.
Yeah, the orange ones. I like
orange.
The orange ones. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. How about you?
Red and purple. Don't care about the rest.
Oh, it's so good, though. Yeah, red and purple. Those are good. Those are good. I love the purple
don't
ones.
Don't care about the other ones.
You know what? Can I change my answer? Purple.
Yellow, green, and orange. Somebody else can eat.
Purple is a good one. That's a good one. DayQuil. NyQuil hit pharmacies 8 years earlier in 1966, but DayQuil landed in 1974 and was originally called Daycare. See why they changed the name of that.
Yeah, because not to be given to your children to keep them sitting in the corner.
There's a lot of bad
things. There's a lot of bad there. A lot of bad marketing there.
And the Meow Mix jingle. What about that one?
Yeah. I remember that a lot from when I was a kid.
In the commercials, the cats just sing meow over and over again. And if you remember the lyrics, I want chicken, I want liver, it's only because you've seen Austin Powers. The old ads had similar subtitles, though. I forgot about those. Oh, those were great ads. Those were popular.
Those are good.
Those are good ones. Yeah. So there's plenty of other things that are out there let me see here. I'm trying to look at mentalfloss.com, which is where you can find the complete list. Mentalfloss.com. The U.S. Privacy Act. The U.S. Privacy Act is as important today as it was when it was enacted in 1974. Think about it this. Imagine the government has a huge filing cabinet with folders about everyone, containing things like your name and where you live and all that. The Privacy Act regulates how federal agencies collect, use, and disseminate that people's personal information. That's something that I don't think a lot of us would have thought is around that long. Stephen King's first novel, Carrie. That's another one that came out in
74. I remember that. I think I saw that movie.
And let me see here. Liposuction came around. So liposuction, people started doing this in 1921, but it didn't come to a common thing and an actual practice until 1974.
Probably became much more accessible to people.
Yeah, yeah. Kinder surprise eggs, those little surprise egg things.
Kinder Joy?
Yeah, Kinder Joy.
You know what? Those just made a research, probably maybe what, 5 years ago or something?
Yeah.
And now you see them everywhere. I didn't even understand what they were.
And now you're so right. Now they're everywhere. And
they're good.
Yeah, they are.
I like hazelnut, though.
The Bold laundry detergent, or really a lot of the popular laundry detergents really came around in the 70s. And People Magazine. With nearly 26,000 issues under its belt, People Magazine is one of the most iconic pop culture magazines in the world, and it debuted in 1977.
You know, and they've evolved nicely. You know what I mean? They've stayed relevant where a lot of other magazines have just kind of I mean, relevant if that's your interest. But I'm just saying you don't see as many magazines around as you did when we were kids. And they seem to have weathered the storm of the change in media pretty well.
They adapted quicker than most.
Yeah.
And I think you can see some of the newspaper or the magazines and newspapers, really, but a lot of the magazines that really got ahead of this and understood that, okay, we have to have an online presence as well and tie those together. People Magazine, one of the bigger ones, maybe the best one that has done it out of all of them. There's a lot of, I'm not counting like sports magazines and stuff.
Right. Entertainment, I guess.
It's also interesting to me too. One of the things that I if you asked me like 5 or 10 years ago and somebody said, well, you know, 20 years from now there will be no more magazines, I'd believe you. But now we're seeing there's a lot of people, there's people that have a love for these, and it's not like who you'd expect, like dentist office, you know, like that kind of thing. Like there's lots of people that actually do still read magazines and collect them and have a journal or subscriptions for them. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. We will take a time out. We'll come back after checking in with our partners and talk about, we'll wrap up the show. We got some good stories of the day I want to get to, including some local stuff I want to touch on, all coming up for you on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James hanging out with you. We hope you had a fun time today with the show. Encourage you to stick around. Matt and Air on the Air coming up for you. And plenty of other great programming throughout the day. We'll get into Midday Magazine for you in just a little bit. And got some local good stories of the day we want to touch on. But here's the That Ain't Right story for everybody. A couple in Utah is thrilled to be reunited with their cat, Galena, who mysteriously disappeared 2 weeks ago. They looked all over for her and even put up signs in the neighborhood. But it turned out Galena didn't run away. The couple shipped her to Amazon.
I mean, seriously.
Galena loves hiding in boxes, and she was inside a box of worker boots that was labeled, that was later packed up, dropped off, and returned to Amazon.
Okay. A boot box. I mean, I'm envisioning this is going to be like some great big box that had like a comforter in it that you could, you know. Boots and a cat. Oh, I didn't notice the cat. I ordered my work boots to match my cat.
Puss in Boots. I mean, we'll do a real degree here and everything. The cat was in the box for 6 days without food and water before being discovered by the Amazon employee named Brandy, who immediately started caring for the cat. She took her to the vet, who scanned her microchip. Galena's owner, Carrie, says she was stunned to get a call that the cat had traveled from Utah to California.
I mean, that cat was singing the meow mix, too.
Yeah. She traveled to California to get her. Thankfully, she recovered. She's recovering without any serious issues, although it's very good to see that she was found when she was. Several lucky breaks helped this story have a happy ending. Galena was in a big box. There weren't just shipping boots, but five pairs of boots because they were doing Amazon's Try Before You Buy program.
Okay. Well, that makes me feel a little bit better, but still, I hope that they practice more with their cat before they have children.
Right on. Yeah. I don't even know how you can accidentally do this and how you don't hear the cat. Like, the cat's probably going to make noise. That ain't right.
God, that poor kitty.
Thankfully, the weather was okay, so that also played into the factor of working out for Galena. But, yeah, that another good reason of microchipping your pets and looking at what you're doing, paying attention to what you're doing a little bit.
I mean, yeah, turn off the subtitles so you can pay attention to what you're doing.
So I love these stories where it's a That Ain't Right story about this parent. These people.
I mean, yeah.
But it's a good story of the day.
Good
of this,
for the pet.
And this lady who took care of the pet, the worker,
the employee,
the employee. That was really cool of them.
You imagine you're like undoing stuff and all of a sudden you're like, ah, cat! You know, like,
that has got to be a freaky situation.
I guess a cat's probably better than some other alternatives.
Yes,
but
yeah.
Raccoon or something, you know, jumping at your face.
Yeah. We got to get a palate cleanser in here. Let's get to our good story of the day. And it kicks off with Midday Magazine. Be sure to join us from 3 to 4 today. Good conversations to wrap up the week. We have a great one in part one. Mike Rea, Executive Director at the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin, is going to join us. Looking forward to catching up with the EDRC. And in part two, we're going to have our good good friend, and both of our good friend, Craig Broren, Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools Superintendent, and Julie Kolarik, Principal over at Woodside Elementary School.
Nice.
We'll talk with them, get to know Woodside a little bit more, catch up with Craig and about all things relating our public schools, talk on in the Rapids area here. We'll get into that and looking forward to it. Going to be a great set of conversations. We, of course, always want to send a big shout out to Pam Hilke and the amazing scheduling she does week in and week out with Midday Magazine. Appreciate that, Pam. It is playoffs, baby. Bucks basketball right here on WFHR. All the games they play throughout the whole run here, we're going to be playing them. It kicks off another one tonight, 4 o'clock, a little bit earlier start time, actually, 4 o'clock for the Bucks hosting Indiana. That series is tied 1-1. Let's see if we can get Milwaukee in the win column. And there will be a game on Sunday right here at WFHR. That game will kick off at 5:30. That means that we will not have any of our original Sunday programming for you. Unlabeled, Director's Cut, Seth Faces the Music will not be playing those shows this Sunday. Be listening for next opportunity to hear those. And of course, you can catch old episodes at civicmedia.us. Just go under shows and check out those. We encourage you to do that. Some great things going on in our area this weekend, Terry. Whew, got to take a deep breath because there's a lot to cover. Now, this event is wrapped up, I believe, for registration, but I did want to send a shout out to our friends at the Historic Point Boss with their campfire cooking sessions they'll be doing tomorrow. That I do believe that those sessions are all, they've got all the people they can for those all registered, but it's such a great event. And while this event might be booked, there's a lot of other great events going on over at the Historic Point Boss. Encourage you to help keep history alive and maybe volunteer out there, look into doing those things and helping our friends over at the Historic Point Boss. You can find out more at historicpointboss.com. Also wanted to remind everybody that the Farmers Market is going on, the Winter Farmers Market over at the Moravian Church. This will be happening until May 18th is when it'll be going on, until, of course, after that we'll have our summer market. But check out the Winter Farmers Market over at the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church at 310 First Avenue South, right here in Wisconsin Rapids. If you're a vendor and would like to be a part of things over there, I encourage you to go to wrmoravian.org and look for the vendors section. There's right at the end of the tab there. Also wanted to touch on this one, the Maine Quilt Show happening, going on to Saturday and Sunday. Sixth annual fundraising quilt show to benefit Jeremiah's Crossing. They have so many great things with this event. We do not have enough time, but a judge quilt show, youth categories, feature quilt artists, vendors, class and demos, viewer choice awards, basket raffle, quilt raffle, door prizes for attendees. It's a wonderful event. You can find out more at jeremiahscrossing.org, jeremiahscrossing.org. Again, the Maine quilt show taking place over at where are they taking place at? Where is this going on? You can find out more at jeremiahscrossing.org, jeremiahscrossing.org. I got looking ahead here a little bit because I'm very excited about this event that the Boys and Girls Club is have going on today from 7 to 10 at the Ridges Golf Course. It's a great opportunity to not only learn more about the Boys and Girls Club, but to have some fun. This is their Toast to Great Futures benefit, wine and beer tasting event going on today over at the Ridges. Be sure to check that out.
Is that Weir or Bine?
A little both. A little bit of both. Did you have a note?
Yeah, so the Maine Quilt Show benefiting Jeremiah's Crossing tomorrow and Sunday is at the Nakusa High School Fieldhouse.
I thought so. I didn't want to say it without 100%, yeah. But I thought it was over there. Have a great time at that event, everybody. Be sure to enjoy that one. And again, the Toast to Great Futures going on with the Boys and Girls Club over at the Ridges is happening tonight from 7 to 10. Be sure to enjoy. And tickets are available at the Boys and Girls Club of the Wisconsin Rapids area or at Richard's Liquors over on 8th Street. And then just a couple more I wanted to touch on, like the Run the Rapids 5K Run Walk is happening tomorrow starting at 9 a.m. It kicks off over at the Centralia Center. Support child abuse prevention. Become part of this beloved event that rolls along the Wisconsin River. Proceeds benefit the Wood County Humane Services Department Child Abuse Prevention Initiatives. Be sure to check that out, everybody. If you want to be a part of this event, be sure to head on over there. The Kids Dash kicks off at 8:30, the 5K Run Walk at 9 a.m., and awards and refreshments to follow.
Nice.
It's a wonderful event. Be sure to check it out. You can go ahead and be a part of this great event and add to an amazing cause. encourage everybody to be a part of that. Drug Take Back Day is happening this weekend, this Saturday, here in Rapids. It'll be taking place 10 to 2, hosted by our friends at the Grand Rapids Police Department. It'll be taking place over there. It'll also be involving Wood County Sheriff's Department will also be there as well. Encourage everybody to be able to get rid of those items in a safe way.
Get them out of your house.
Terry, I want to wrap up talking a little United Way with you and one other event. Let's touch on the United
Way. So we are currently taking team registrations for United We Can. If you'd like to be in the pre-registration drawing, we need your registration by May 1st for the event that is June 18th. And so we'll certainly be talking about that more as it gets close, but we are recruiting teams. And then lastly, today from noon until 1, we will be out front of the United Way office at St. John's Church across the street for a volunteer appreciation event. So if you've been a volunteer with United Way in the last year, we invite you to come on by. It's just a drive-through token of appreciation kind of event. Ben will be there to be thanking volunteers. And, you know, of course, always a shout out to all volunteers for all programs. But this today concludes National Volunteer Week. And so, you know, we just want to show our appreciation.
A big thank you to you and the team over there at the United Way. They keep this community moving and impact it so much. We appreciate you doing events like that. Find out more at UWSWAC.org, and be sure to follow the United Way on social media. It's a great follow. Wanted to remind everybody that My Fair Lady, the Lincoln High School Theater and Music Department presentation is happening this weekend. It's a great play. You can check out a show tonight at 7:30, tomorrow at 7:30, or Sunday at 2 o'clock that matinee. I have tickets here for the Friday show at 7:30 and the matinee for Sunday. I have two tickets each. I have two tickets for each show. If you would like to go, give us a call, 715-424-2600, 424-2600. Call up, join the conversation, get yourself these tickets to My Fair Lady. Otherwise, if you'd like to go, you can get tickets at showticks4u.com. That's showticks4u.com. Or right at the front door of the Performing Arts Center. Encourage you to support local theater and to support these kids.
Yeah, great opportunity to support our young people.
A couple of world good stories I want to touch on real quick. Wildlife officials in Colorado saved two mountain lion cubs that got trapped in a reservoir spillway. They lowered a rope down.
Not in an Amazon box.
Shocking. And a 22-year-old woman in Michigan just graduated from nursing school, and the traditional pinning ceremony was a real full circle moment. She got her pin from a nurse named Sarah Longest, who took care of her as a preemie 22 years ago.
How sweet. That's cool, because you get to select who does your pinning. And so for her to, you know what I mean? For her to do that, I think that's really cool.
Very cool. Very cool hanging out with you, Terry. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Be good to each other. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.